right, everyone. We have a special guest with us. His name is Mylar, the host of Oh Glorious Mornings podcast.
Oh, what a glorious morning.
Oh, my glorious morning.
Oh, what a
Oh, what a okay, everybody. I'm just going to stop right there. I'm not going to do the introduction. Mylar is. So, Mylar, please tell us, what is the actual name of your podcast?
Hello, everyone. My name is Mylar, and the name of my show is Oh, What a Glorious Morning. It's lovely to be on your show, Cortez. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and obviously, for me, this is not a glorious morning. I am all over the place, man. I for some reason, I'm not getting it together this morning, but we're going to make it work.
No, I hear you. I just worked for 24 hours on a project yesterday, on this ridiculous video project. I don't know if for people who've been following my podcast, I've been working on this absolutely ridiculous video project for a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And I worked all day and all night last night, and I stayed up and I went to visit my folks this weekend, and 6 p.m. rolled around last night, and I'm like, I'm going to take a nap. And the nap lasted for 13 and a half hours. So I'm wide awake.
Wow.
I'm like bushy-tailed right now. So, yeah.
So you were working for 24 hours straight?
Pretty much, maybe a little more. Yeah.
Wow, dude. What do you do?
Well, I'm a video editor, filmmaker, sort of. I'm in film and video sort of world. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, whenever like a project kind of grabs you and you just can't stop it, or you have a deadline, one of two.
Yeah, it's like procrastination kills sometimes. If somebody gives you like this asinine deadline where it's like, yeah, this needs to be done, and they drop like four piles of work on your desk and it needs to be done by tomorrow, then yeah, you're going to be working for 24 hours plus straight.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have.
Yeah? It's fun, right?
It was no, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. It was called, oh my God, it was called basic training. It might not have been like 24, but it was like 20-hour days. We had this real crazy military training instructor, and he was just like drilling us just 20-hour days, and then sometimes we get like 2 hours of sleep. You come in, we do what we call like bed drills, where these people were psychotic, man. So bed drills were pretty much like you wake up. He'd have us wake up, clean the whole dormitory, and then he'd go and inspect something. And so if he found out that, you know, people's beds weren't made like tight, flush form, then we do bed drills. So bed drills was, okay, everybody lay in your bed as if you're going to sleep. So you lay in your bed.
Hold on, he wakes you up to do this?
Yeah.
So he'll wake you up and tell you to lay in your bed as if you're sleeping.
After you make them, yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so you mess them up after you make them.
That's a little crazy to me.
Yeah. Okay. So we mess our beds up after we made them, and then we get up and do it all over again. It was like literally your life on repeat. But the crazy thing is he brought in these big speakers, and he placed them on both sides of the bays. They called them bays. And he played music, like real, like calming, soothing, like music that would make you fall asleep. And he let you lay in bed until you literally, like, majority of everybody was sleeping. And then the next thing you know, he turned that off, and then Remley starts playing. You're like, da, 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 and you wake up.
What is the point of that? Like, it sounds like, you ever hear like there's some bizarre kings in the past who would do crazy shit just because they could? Like, bring me some people and have them stick 30 marbles in their mouth for my entertainment, you know?
that's kind of how it was, man. I believe it's just to see how well you operate under stress, and just, you know, you can move in those little situations. If you can't handle those little stressful situations, then you're not going to be able to handle things like deployment and things like that. So it's really like the military has this thing that's called like failure to adjust.
Okay.
And you can get kicked out for it. I mean, of course, there's guidelines to it. Like, you have to be in for under, I think it's like 2 years or something for them to say you have a failure to adjust. I don't know the exact parameters of it. But, yeah, pretty much if you have any adverse effects that take place on you in the stressful work environment or stressful, you know, combat environment, then you're not fit for duty because you have a failure to adjust to a stressful environment. Yeah. So, yeah, man, I've done those days. I would definitely
fail from what did you call it? That would be failure to adjust within like 3 days. It'd be like normally we give you like 2 years, but dude, you're just not making it. Just that would be me. Seriously, I would not be able to handle military training at all.
I mean, once you're there though, like once you, and this is the thing too, is I was just talking to my wife about this the other day. I think that the military made me realize what is the definition of something being hard. And I realized,
I like that. I do.
Yeah. Seriously. I realized that what it means when something is difficult or hard is you're not used to it. That's all it is. If you're not used to something, then of course it's going to be hard. But when you get used to it, it's kind of like, this is a normal day. You know, it's like, but the hump of getting used to it into the routine, that's the hard part. But once you get into the routine, it's like, this is what I do.
That's, you know, really, what I mean? No, that's fascinating. I really like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm going to think about that. That's really quite smart.
Yeah, that's all hard means is that you're not used to doing whatever it is. Or, you know, if you're trying to learn something and what you're trying to learn is, you know, hard or difficult for you to learn, it's only because you haven't been exposed to it over and over and over, and you don't have the skill set to say, oh, this is easy. I do this all the time. You know, of course, what you do all the time is easy.
The sad thing about that is the opposite way of looking at that exact same scenario can also be true when someone lives a life that's like really shitty for them. Sorry, can I swear on your podcast? Is that a...
Oh man, be you all the way.
Like if they're leading like a really shitty life, but they're used to it, it becomes easy for them too.
You know, right?
You know what I mean? Like if your diet is poor, if you're in a relationship that's abusive, or any number of things, if you're used to it, that life is easy. And getting away from a shitty behaviors or crappy environments can be difficult because it's not what you're used to. It's different. Change is difficult. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah. No, I like that. That makes me think. I like things that make me think, especially first thing in the morning.
So yeah, speaking about things that make you think, I want to talk about your podcast or your show, What a Glorious Morning. And I was reading kind of like the description of it, and you were talking about morning routines and how, you know, all these, you know, successful people have these morning routines, and you're trying to figure out how to, you know, kind of add something to that type of thought or make your own morning routine. What made you want to start doing that?
That's an excellent question. This all started a number of months ago. I was living one of those routines that was very unhealthy for me. I was, I just didn't enjoy my life at the point. You know, this was about a year or so ago. I was playing a lot of video games in my room, hiding. I was living in a house with other roommates that were just awful people. Just, and God, I hope they don't hear this podcast. And, you know, I was drinking probably too much, and it was just, it wasn't good. And I didn't enjoy my life. And I came across, I was having a lot of anxiety, and I came across this audiobook called Play It Away. And this thing changed my life. I tell everybody this. This thing is amazing. And it was, I wish I could remember the name of the author, but I remember that he used to be the assistant of Timothy Ferris, who everybody knows. I'm sure, maybe not everybody. Do you know, have you heard of Timothy Ferris, Tim Ferris?
I have heard that name before.
He's the author of The 4-Hour Workweek.
Right, yep.
Yeah, and the irony is his assistant would work for him like 80 hours a week, right? And he would burn out, but he was making millions of dollars. So he finally quit, and he had so much anxiety, and he didn't know what to do. He tried yoga, he tried meditation, he tried anti-anxiety medication. Nothing worked. Mm-hmm. And one day he had to have a business meeting with somebody, over coffee, and just a typical business meeting. And he was getting tired of them. And the guy called him up. He's like, okay, are we going for coffee? He's like, you know what? Can we just go to the park and have a game of catch instead? And the guy's like, fuck, yes, we could have a game of catch. What? I haven't done that in forever. So they went and they still talked business, but they had a game of catch in the park. And it was fun. And he realized at that moment he hadn't had fun in a really, really long time. Like, when we have fun as adults, usually there's, like, a stipulation around it or meaning behind it. Like, I'm going to go to the, you know, to the volleyball and have fun. And that'll let me to build up my muscles or get better health or whatever. But fun for fun's sake is something we've lost since childhood. And now all he does, everything he does has a sense of play to it. And all of his anxiety is gone. And
what did you say the name of the book?
Long answered your question. But
what did you say the name of the book was?
Oh, Play It Away.
Play It Away.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I listened to it, and he said, okay, first things first, you have to remove things that are stressing you. So make a list of all things that are anchoring you to stress and anxiety. And once a week, just one time a week, get rid of one of them. And I did that. I did that for months. I moved out of that shitty house. I stopped going to a place of work, which I hated. I started working from home. I removed crappy people out of my life. And suddenly my brain was free. I just felt more free to explore and to play and to have fun. And then I was like, you know what? I want to make a better life for myself. So, you know, quit drinking and quit hanging out with shitty people. Just, I started going to the gym more. And then I wanted to get up earlier and earlier and earlier.
Right.
And I couldn't do it. I've got something called delayed sleep phase syndrome, which is a really long technical term for night owl. I'm a night owl, and that's the technical name for it, is delayed sleep phase syndrome. It essentially means that your body's melatonin, which is what makes you feel the sensation of being tired, it naturally releases in the average person around, say, you know, in the evening time, 8, 9, 10 p.m. So whenever you naturally feel tired is when melatonin is naturally released in your body. For me, it's naturally released around 3 or 4 in the morning.
Wow.
It sucks. So, but if I take the pill melatonin and I take it 12 hours before I want to wake up, and then every 3 days take it a half hour earlier and wake up a half hour earlier, I can shift it. And so that's what I've been doing for the past number of months, and that's why I'm able to get up now at 8 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. But doing it alone sucks, and my willpower is awful. So I thought, I literally started my podcast so that I'd have an audience who was waiting for me to tell them how I'm doing. I have someone I'm being held accountable to. That's literally the entire purpose of my podcast, is to get me out of bed in the morning. It's not to make money. It's not to grow this huge online community. It's to get me up out of bed. And for that reason alone, it's already successful. So
wow.
You know, that is a very long-winded answer to your question. I'm sorry it took so long to answer.
No. I love the depth of, you know, the explanation that you gave me. And, you know, you gave me like a whole background as to what, you know, the buildup was worth it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh. It really was worth it. So,
morning, yeah. I guess I didn't answer your question. You asked me about morning routines.
No. I mean, you answered my question because that was a long-winded question. So, I mean, I'll go back to one of the parts of it, which was the morning routine thing. You answered both parts of my question. And you told me, you know, the Play It Away book was kind of like how to get out of that morning routine, and, you know, how the author just decreased his stress and anxiety at work during these meetings. And you also let me know like why he started his podcast. So I think that was an awesome answer.
Thanks, man.
But
so why did you start your podcast out of curiosity?
I started my podcast just for the willingness that I have to help people, because I've just seen so many people lose relationships, or like lose the interest to do things that they love, or so many people nowadays who are like struggling financially, so many people who think that it's almost impossible to do what they love and make money from it. So pretty much I'm giving you a long-winded answer, but
that song's mine, dude.
But to sum it all up, I just see so many people trying to follow the social media version of happiness, and they don't get to see that behind the scenes. So I want to be able to interview people and also like learn from people about the behind the scenes work that it takes for them to get to this like highlight moment that you see on everybody's social media. Like you only see highlights. Nobody's gonna post pictures of the shitty times or the videos of times where they just blew up or lost it, or you know, nobody really wants to just broadcast their failures. They'll let you know about failures, but nobody really broadcasts it. Nobody really says, okay, I had to go through this to get here, you know? And I think that a lot of people who want to be entrepreneurs or work for themselves or, you know, just be happy, period, in a relationship or anything like that, you know, you see other people who've been in a relationship for 20 years and they've been married for 20 years, and they're still happily married, no infidelity, anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's like you only see the good parts most of the time on social media. But right. When you talk to people, it's like, oh, well, we've been through a lot of shit. You know what I mean? It's like no, nobody's life is perfect. So that's really what made me want to start my podcast, is just to let people know, hey, I understand that you see on social media or, you know, you see on the news, these big names like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Richard Branson, you know, all these huge, huge names, and how, oh, their company just grew to this. Their company just grew to this. And it's like, it makes it seem like it's so far away that you can't reach it.
Right.
And you see celebrities doing things like buying Bentleys and all this stuff like this. And it makes it seem like it's so far away that you can't reach it. So I wanted to tone it down a notch and find like that, the not so average Joe who's doing good, who you know might own a business that's worth a couple $1 million, or you know the person who's been married for that 20 plus years or 10 plus years and who's doing well and they got out of a rut in their relationship. So
that's what a fantastic reason to start a podcast and to a wonderful way to look at the world. Like that's true. It's a lot of people only see the tip of the iceberg because that's what it's being shoved down our throats through social media is oh, we yeah. don't see the meat of people's lives. We just see the gloss, the icing. You're right. You're absolutely right. You know?
Yeah. Yes.
I love that, man. That's great.
So yeah, like about the morning routine thing, back to that.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine, Cindy Lyman, and she was telling me about how she has a hard time dealing with Mondays. So the Monday thing, like, do you have a hard time or do you work Monday to Friday or is
no? Fortunately, I work from home. I'm a contract. Like I do. I'm a contract editor. So people just give me projects and I work on them whenever. So weekends are things that my friends do. And so I go.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I used to have a 9-to-5 many years ago, and yeah, Mondays sucked because your job sucks because you don't enjoy what you do. You know, if you like what you do, there's you know,
it doesn't matter. It's Monday.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you look forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, geez, how to enjoy Mondays? Get a job you don't hate. You don't have to love it. You don't have to like bounce out of bed and like, oh boy, it's time to work. But like, at least have a job where you are enjoying is not the right word. Where you respect the fact that you do it, that you are, what's the proud, a sense of pride. Like, I did some carpentry work once when I was down, you know, about a decade ago. I was low on cash. A friend of mine was a carpenter. He's like, come work for me for the weekend. I'm like, that sounds great, sure. And I installed plywood and. Plywood, what's it called, drywall and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was hard work, but at the end of the day, I got to step back and look and like, I helped make that. I helped build that. That's cool. And it gave me a sense of pride and a nice sense of feeling. So it doesn't have to be like, fuck yes, I'm going to work sort of feeling, which I don't think many people have.
That's true.
Long as you don't say, oh my God, if I have to spend another day at this goddamn job.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. I think that that happens like so often though. It's just like a huge gap. Like after people are at a job for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, that's when it starts to sink in. Like, oh my God, I hate because no, seriously. Like when you look at it, It's like when people first get hired, it's like that's they feel that you know, huge volt of energy, like, yes, I got the job.
Right. And then like 3 years into it, you're sitting there clenching a fist going, I swear to God, if Brenda comes over and shows me one more picture of her fucking dogs.
For real, yeah. Like, oh my God, it's crazy, man. It's crazy how the human mind just works and builds up these emotions. And it honestly, it brings people to this point of, I think, just absolute dread of the future. And I think that that's what stops them from, like, really going after their dreams, because I think subconsciously,
yeah,
people are, you know, like I said, you get that initial, like, yes, I got the job. And, you know, later on you find out this isn't what I wanted. And I think subconsciously, if that happens a lot of times, then your mind just automatically defaults to, I don't know what I want, because I've tried so many times to get what I want. I thought I was going to be happy, and now I don't know what I want. But the thing is that I am a sole believer of hard work and persistence, and just,
I believe in that. I have yet to do it, but I believe in it. I put that there. I know it exists. I've seen people do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, constant trial and error, man. I feel like that is really the that's what gives me energy. Is I'm a tinkerer. I like to, you know, be like, okay, what's going to work? Is this going to work? Is this going to work? And then sometimes I have to step back and just say, that's not worth my energy.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people, they default to just like, you know what? I don't know. I'm going to just sit here and, you know, wait until retirement. that's when bitterness happens. That's when it's like, oh my God, I swear to God. Like you were saying, like, if Susan comes over here one more time with that hazelnut coffee.
I actually listened to a podcast called The Badass, the Unstoppable Badass. Mm-hmm. She talks about, the last episode she talked about comfort zones, and people who just get stuck in a comfort zone, which is kind of what I think you're talking about. You get used to being stuck in a rut, right? So you're just like, I'm just going to wait until retirement, sort of thing. And yeah, I think people get used to their lives no matter how shitty they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we need to shake ourselves up. And that's why people come. So the real question, people who are listening to your podcast, you know, people who come to your podcast all the time because they want some motivation. They want to be able to motivate themselves. The real question they should be asking themselves is why? What brought them here in the first place? What is driving them to seek out advice, to seek out motivation, to seek out the strength to do this themselves? It's like most, I don't think that's like a phase in life where you get to a place. It's like, all right, you're working life. So, you know, you're 30, you're 40, you're 50. And suddenly you hate your life and you find a podcast how to fix it. That's not like a stage people go through.
Yeah. but that's the thing, though, is when you start to search, you find answers. The thing is, though, is when you find those answers, like you said, you have to answer that. I always ask why.
Yeah.
So it's like, first of all, why are you searching? Like you said, why are you here? And then once you find out something, you're like, okay, I like this podcast. Okay, why do you like the podcast? What is it about it that you like? And then on top of that, well, if you find out that you like it and you're going to listen to this and you're going to follow this person, then okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to implement? It's not just about listening. And I want people to really understand that it's not just about being a spectator. You have to, at some point, become a doer.
Exactly. Because
if you're not a doer, then nothing's going to happen. It's just going to be like, oh, well, yeah, I listened to this podcast. Okay, what'd you learn from it? Well, I learned this, that, and the other. No, you retain that information. Learning is when you learn something and you do something.
Exactly.
You learned. You know, that's
a lot of people are really afraid to do, though. I think a lot of people have so much in their lives that they don't like that they feel like adding anything, another task, is just so much extra work, you know? So that's why I'm a strong, strong believer in reduction therapy, in reducing parts of your life, right? That like we've gotten used to. Get rid of them. We are not born depressed. We are not born anxious. We are not born hating life. We add things to our lives that create the sense of dread, that create depression, that create anxiety, that and And if we get used to them, we don't, half the time, we don't even know they're doing it anymore. So to really take a look at your life and say, what can I get rid of? Do I really need this job? Do I really need, is my girlfriend really someone I love and want to be with? Are the hobbies that I do in the weekend, are they unfulfilling to me? Like, just, and get rid of so much stuff until you can get to a baseline. And then you can start adding. Like, you can start adding a podcast that tells you, like, it motivates you in the weekend. You start adding things like, let's add yoga. Let's add meditation. Let's go volunteer in the weekend for Boy Scouts or whatever. Doesn't matter. Then you can start adding. But if you've got so much shit that's bogging you down already that you're not taking care of, you're still doing. And then you add more things like, okay, yeah, I really fucking hate my life, but this podcast told me to go do yoga, and I'm just bitter and doing yoga, and I don't understand it. It's not going to help. You might feel a little calm for a half hour afterwards, but if you go right back to a life that you hate and you haven't fixed that yet, it's like getting a paint job on a car that is falling apart. Fix right. The car first.
Right. It's kind of like sitting in a dumpster, going to take a shower for 15 minutes and going back and sitting in the dumpster. Right. That's exactly what, that's what I'm getting out of what you're saying.
I like that way better. That's a much better example.
So you're pretty much about finding like the baseline. Like you're pretty much saying everybody needs to find the baseline of how their life operates.
Yeah. Find the thorns that are sticking in you and pull them out.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. I definitely like that.
Don't go back to your dumpster.
Don't go back to the dumpster. Yeah. Okay. I like that. I mean, I'm glad that you said that because I'm all about like, okay, let's tack this on. And you know, there's sometimes like I'm like, okay, we need to get rid of this if it's no like redeemable value, you know, if it's something that's like cost benefit analysis says, well, this is causing me this much stress and this is the benefit I get from it. If the juice isn't worth the squeeze, okay, yeah, let's stop doing that. You know right. What I mean? So, yeah, I completely agree, but I never really thought about, you know, the way that you're saying it because, you know, back when I was on my self-improvement journey, and which I still am, I think the self-improvement is like a lifelong thing.
I totally agree.
But when I decided to start it, I was, the first thing I did, I was like, okay, I'm instead of waking up at this time, I'm going to wake up at this time and I'm going to exercise. And, you know, and it was like, yeah, I think that it allowed me to have some type of calmness to the point where I could go to work in the morning and feel that sense of pride about what I did before work. But then it was like going into work, I was like, oh my God, I shouldn't have worked out this morning. Cause I don't have the energy for this. This is too, but, and then that's another thing too, is like the thought process. If you allow yourself to start thinking like that, like, oh, I shouldn't have worked out this morning. Then you just literally did the reverse of what you're talking about. You're taking something away that you felt good about and that you had pride about, and you're putting that off and making that the reason why your life sucks. And that's something that people do too. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that because this happened, or I shouldn't have done that because now I don't feel like doing this and I hate what I'm doing right now. So, and it's just like this whole mindset of just fuckery that's just, you know, well beyond what it's worth. It's just like, what is going on? And that's what I had to sit down and think about, like, okay, what's really important to me? And that's when I, you know, I heard this guy talking about health, wealth, love, and happiness, Ty Lopez. This was like years ago. And I just, you know, I remembered him talking about that. And I said, that is what is important to me. Cause I care about my health. I you know, go through these weight fluctuations, which I think everybody does, when I gain like 10 pounds. And then I walk up a flight of stairs and I'm like, fuck, I'm a little tired. And then like, I pay attention and I'm like, okay, I don't want to let that go, you know, beyond this point right here. And then, you know, it's been plenty of times where being young and dumb, spending a lot of money, you know, I look at that today. I'm like, man, you know what? I care about my wealth. I can't allow myself to do X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, and you think about your love life, like I went through a divorce before. I'm married again, happily, thank God. And now I'm just thinking like, I really care about my love life, and I'm just, you know, constantly trying to find ways to better improve it. And then ultimately it's all about being happy, you know, me being happy, the people who are around me being happy, and just, you know, trying to filter all the BS out. You know what I mean?
Can I talk on that point for a quick second
about
chasing happiness? I think that's, for one, nothing wrong with happiness. There's not where I'm going with this. Happiness is wonderful and should be pursued, of course. But I think too many times people think it's, how do I word this? Happiness, much like sadness or apathy or anger, is an extreme emotion. It's a wonderful emotion and one we should definitely pursue, but it is an extreme one. And I think, like, there's all these shows and books and podcasts and everything that say that if you're not happy, that there's something wrong with your life and you should be happy. I think that's, I really do think that's wrong. I think, not wrong, but like misleading. We should definitely be pursuing happiness, but happiness comes in little spurts because it's an extreme emotion. I think what we should really be striving for is contentment as a baseline emotion. Just always be content with what you have and then have little bursts of happiness. What a wonderful life that would be. No sadness, no anger, or at least sadness and anger that is manageable. But most of the time you're grateful and content with the life that you have, and you know, peppered throughout the week, you have little bouts of happiness. Like, oh man, this is really joyful. This is a blissful experience. And then once that bliss and joy kind of ends due to whatever created it, you go back to being content with everything around you. I think pursuing to be happy 24 hours a day is pushing a lot of people to feel like they're failing, which can make them feel sad and depressed.
Yeah. I somewhat agree with that, but at the same time,
please feel free to disagree, man.
I agree with what you're saying, but I just don't, the word content doesn't really like settle with me as good as I would like for it to. And I definitely understand where you're coming from. I personally believe that you have like two very, very extreme emotions that can lead to like catastrophic things, and that's happiness and sadness. And they're gateways to other things. Like happiness, I feel like, is a gateway sometimes to stupidity. Like if you're really happy and bliss, you know, in a moment, and you're just blissful and you're just like, oh my God, like I need to go, I'm happy, I need to go shopping, or I'm happy, I need to go do this, or I'm like, it could really lead to some stupid decisions. And then also if you're sad, it's like that could lead to like this negative downward spiral of depression. And it's like, oh my God, I'm sad, I should, you know, I don't want to talk to anyone, no, I don't want to talk about it. I'm just gonna sit here and cry and, you know, eat ice cream. And like, it's like, dude,
man, don't eat ice cream.
it just leads to like this negative thing. So happy could, you know, take you on this thing. I said one thing one day. I was just walking down the hall. You know how you say, "Hey, good morning. How are you doing?" Or "How's it going?" Yeah,
yeah.
I said, "How's it going?" And this guy was like, "Oh, it's going good. How's it going with you?" And I was like, "It's going, but I don't know where it's going." And he literally stopped. He's like, "What?" And he looks at me and he said, you don't know where it's going. He was like, that's a dangerous thing, brother. If you have something that's your life is huge, you know, and it's everlasting. It continues to grow until you die. So if you have this machine that's huge and it's just like steamrolling and you don't know where it's going, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. So from that point on, that little encounter, it was probably like a minute worth of talking. That changed my life because I just said, you know what? I do need to know where I'm going in life. Like, it's not like I need to put a lot of pressure and stress on myself to say, I need to know where every step is. And, you know, I need to be 5 steps ahead of the game. Like, life is a game of chess. I hate when people say that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like,
I'm really bad at chess. So like,
yeah, it's like, dude, okay, you got to be strategic at times, but you don't need to sit up here and be on guard every single second of every day. Like you're playing a game of chess and you're trying to get ahead of everybody else. Like, come right. on, man. So yeah, that just really, you know, helped me laser in my focus and just say, okay, where am I going with this? You know what I mean? And that was another thing I had to do with the podcast, like, recently, is I was just getting on and talking. I was just like, you know what? There's no structure to this. There's no, like, I don't feel like I'm helping people learn anything if I'm not giving them time to practice it, if I'm not being consistent. Like, where am I going with this? So I built, like, a structure around it. I said, okay, well, the first week I'll talk about health, second week wealth, third week love, and then fourth week happiness, and wrap it all up, you know, 4 days.
That's following. Really smart. That's so, really smart. I like that.
So, yeah, I was trying to give people time to actually practice some of the things that they can take away from the show and say, okay, this is changing my life. I don't want people to say this changed my life. I want to continue, because, like I said, self-improvement is everlasting. It goes on until
the day. I totally believe that. Yeah. I've always been the type of person who's constantly trying to evolve and better myself. And only now do I realize how fun it can be, because it used to be a lot of work and stress.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. It's fun. Hell yeah, it's fun, because you get to experiment so much, because it's like things that used to make me mad and used to just like, oh my God. I've always wanted to say this, but what used to really grind my gears is just like when people would talk to me and like they voice how they felt. And then when I voice how I felt, and I've always been a pretty logical person, but when I voice how I felt, it's like they would get upset at the fact that I voiced how I felt. What? And I'm like, yeah, why? Yeah, dude, it was just kind of like, it was like, okay, I don't like the way that you did this. And you know, I tell them, well, okay, I agree, but this is how I feel. And this is why I did what I did. And people took that as me being defensive instead of just having a conversation.
Oh, okay.
Because to me, defensive is like, no, you're wrong. I didn't do it for that reason. I've never been that type of way, unless I knew for a fact, like, somebody was accusing me of something and I know that I didn't do it or something like that. But if it was just an opinionated conversation and they're like, well, I don't like what you did. Okay, I understand you don't like what I did. And we can sit here and talk about who's right and who's wrong, but that's not what I'm about to do. I'll tell you why I did it. And I can see your point of view. I always say that. I can see your point of view. And just like when you
That's were smart. Talking, not a lot of people do that. I got a car walking by me.
But yeah, like you were saying earlier, like when you use the word content, it's like, okay, I agree with you, but I don't like that word. Here's why, you know. Because I don't think anybody should really just get to the point of just settling for anything. And because when you say content, to me that means I've settled for this. And you know, okay. To me that's kind of like that resonates as, okay, I stopped trying.
Right. Okay, yeah, no, that's I see what you're saying now. Yes, no, I'm on board with that line of thinking as well. Of course, yeah, I feel the same way. To me, it's a fine line. If I could address that for a second, because yes, no, I agree. I think people should continuously push themselves. But I've seen people push themselves to madness, myself included. So I think there's a fine line. I think gratitude, if you're not grateful for the life that you have achieved, that you've worked on so hard to get, because you're so ensconced with the idea of pushing forward, then what's the point? If you never enjoy your life because you're always disappointed with what you have because you haven't reached the next milestone yet, right? That's not much of a life to enjoy, right?
Right, right.
At some point, you have to be this sit back and look at the life that you have created, that you have worked so hard for, and go, you know what? I did a damn good job at this, and I am grateful.
You have to appreciate your work.
You have to. So that's kind of what I meant by contentment.
Okay.
Like, I am content with the life. Let's substitute contentment, because I agree with you. I don't think people should settle. And if contentment is equaling settling in a lot of people's minds, that is not the message that I want to push through. I want to say grateful. I want to say we can appreciate our lives and we have a sense of gratitude for what we have. Yet that doesn't allow us to settle. We still want more. We live in the present day, but we work for future us.
You know? Okay. No, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think the definition of content is just, it's like peaceful happiness, like being in a state of peaceful happiness. So I don't I think really that you're like, wrong. It's really just the way that my brain processed it.
No, no, hey, man, that's why we. I learned all kinds of shit. I didn't. This is why we have discussions. This is why we have, you know, conversations. Right. But I loved it when you said happiness leads to stupidity.
It does, so true, man.
It does. I never really put that together before.
Because when you have somebody who's like who is, you know, striving for happiness, it's like they'll drive, not only drive themselves crazy sometimes, but especially if they're trying to attain something that they want and the timeline is not plausible. Like if you're right. If you're like, okay, my net worth needs to increase to $10 million and I want it to happen in the next week. Like, okay, if you're serious
you're
about that.
You're about to rob a bank.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At least it's stupidity. You see what I mean? Like, so if you're going to gain that, you have to be like very, very logical with the amount of time it's going to take for you to get happiness. And then you also have to be smart enough to say, I have to sustain this until the day I die. That's right. The commitment. Seriously, right. That is the serious commitment that needs to be in place when you think about, okay, I want to be happy. And then when you put, you know, a goal on it as far as like health, like, okay, in order for me to be happy with my health, I need to be able to accomplish X, Y, and Z. I need to stay at this body weight. I need to be able to, you know, run a mile in this amount of time without stopping. You know, I want to be able to lift this much weight. And then with your wealth, it's like, okay, this is where I want my net worth to be. And then you have to figure out, okay, how long, which one is going to take the shortest amount of time? I don't know if you listen to Dave Ramsey, but it's kind of like the debt snowball. Work on the small things first. Which one is going to take the least amount of time? So that way you can sit back, like you were saying, and enjoy what you worked on and then move to the next goal that's going to take the second amount, most amount of time and say, okay, this is what I'm working on. And that's the strive for the end result, which is happiness.
Yeah. Listen, I want to mention real quickly that I'm outside in the freezing cold and I've been watching my phone's battery die, like, and I've been eyeing it like a ticking time bomb. I hope if I suddenly cut off, it's not because I'm like, screw this, and I just hung up on it or anything like that. My battery is going to conk out, but I think I'm okay. I've been like palming my phone in my warm hand to try to keep it on its last breath sort of thing so it doesn't completely die.
Well, here's the deal, brother. What we can do is we can keep it. We'll make this part one for everybody who's listening, and then we'll do a part two to follow up on it. So that way,
great. You know,
everything can get said, because I mean we're going over the 30-minute time cap I usually try and have anyways. I might have to increase that to 45 minutes, but who knows. But tell us where we can find you for right now, and then we'll do part two. We'll say in like a week or two.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds great, Kurt. Thank you so much for having me on your show, Kurt, by the way. This has been a lot of fun and a great way to start my morning. So again, my name is Mylar. You can find me over at the podcast, Oh, What a Glorious Morning. It's a podcast about a night owl. That's me trying his damnedest to be a morning person. And it's been very difficult. It's a comedy podcast. I'm not going to change the world